Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody is having a good weekend. I'm not saying great weekend. You know, so many of us are drying out, trying to recover from heavy rains.
Yeah, many still aren't. I mean, it's still raining in a lot of parts of the state.
It is, and we're going to be discussing that more as we get further in the program. But this is week three of our annual Waltz Across Texas, and today we're going to be joined by Rusty Wood, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader from Jasper, as well as Mike Miller, our district leader from Kerrville, talk about the Piney Woods as well as the Hill Country.
There you go.
With the latest updates as we get further into the hunting season. Plus, we've got some news from around the country as well as the state. So, y'all stick around and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn, inviting you to join me and some friends for the Automotive Reporter. For over 15 years, the country's most informative auto show. An hour of news, interviews, product reviews, and motorsports. We'll be testing the newest cars and trucks, bringing you major guests from the automotive industry. Visit AutomotiveReporter.com for a list of our stations. Play the latest programs and more. While there, download the free Stitcher Smart Radio app and listen to us anywhere, anytime on your computer or smartphone. That's AutomotiveReporter.com.
Its ancestors won wars and explored continents. Its body and frame forged in heavy gate steel. This is the Roxor from Mahindra, a legendary off-road vehicle. With more than 70 years of hardcore heritage, a turbo diesel engine, and 5-speed manual transmission. All new, no mercy. Test drive yours today. Find a dealer at RoxorOffroad.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans.
You know, and I love this segment that we do because it's always like when I'm visiting my family in the country, the first thing we talk about is the weather and then politics, but not religion. We don't get into that.
Yeah. You know, it's seems to be on the forefront of everybody's mind.
Well, you think? Yeah. I mean, I was up the first of the week, the Great Texas Truck Rodeo, which I'll give a report on a little bit later. We did outside of Austin, but we were at the Longhorn River Ranch south of Dripping Springs. Beautiful property. But because of the weather and all the vehicles are parked in what was a lovely field, which is now a big muddy mess, and we had to pull the plug late that morning. And my compliments to the board of directors, really the Texas Auto Riders Association, because they did a really good plan B. Everything was moved back to our hotel in the Bee Cave area, and we based then out of their underground parking garage, kind of put a damper on the off-roading, but still, you know, everybody got to get in the vehicles and make their judgments and so on. They did a really a great job, And then we went the second evening to a thing called Camp Lucy south of Dripping Springs for dinner. Really neat facility. And we did buses. So we're rerouted because of roads that already were underwater.
Right.
And so then we cross over this little low water bridge, and the water is lapping under it, this creek. Okay. So then when we leave to come back out, fortunately, there was a rain gauge because it said, oh, no, it's got 2 feet of water over it now. So we went, oops, I think we need to go another way, and had to maneuver around. But then later on, looking at the news, the levels that some of these lakes got to, I mean, obviously we know the flooding of the Llano, that got all the publicity and that dam being washed out. But the height of that water.
Yeah.
I was telling you, that bridge we go over all the time at Llano, at downtown, to get to the bottom of that bridge, I mean, that's like, 60 feet up in the air or something?
Yeah.
Marble Falls, up that cliff that the Chili's and the Hampton Inn sits on, it got up to the top of that cliff, for Lord's. I mean, it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, Colorado River, it's interesting, the old adage of if you don't like Texas weather, just wait a minute because it will change.
It's true.
It really is.
Yeah.
But just look at the past 7-8 years.
Mm-hmm.
We go back to 2011 and we're mirrored in a devastating drought.
Yeah,
and everything is down. For those that regularly listen to the program, and when we get to the outdoor report, and you do the portion on the Hill Country Lakes.
Right.
And Travis, we watch it slowly decline,
Because it's not a constant level like Buchanan is and Inks and LBJ.
Well, LBJ is a constant level, right?
Yeah.
And so then you've got a situation where the Forever Islands are the Sometime Islands.
Sometime Islands and Travis.
Right, are starting to show back up. And then you have a situation where lake was about 25 feet low is what we were reporting over the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And within a 24-hour period, it had jumped up 20 feet.
Yeah.
And last time I looked, we were about 20 feet high.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of water.
It really is.
And here's the other thing, folks. Central Texas is dealing with it right now.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to flow downstream.
It's got to go the Gulf.
Right.
I mean, so for those that fish around Matagorda and where the Colorado River goes in, the diversion channel or the river itself, that's a lot of fresh water coming.
Well, it's sort of good news, bad news, and you been a fisherman forever. So what's the the after effect in the Gulf from all of this?
In the Gulf, I mean, that's where everything will end up dissipating and tides and winds, and it's going to mix, and the salinity levels will adjust. But what you've got because of now the early cool weather, really colder weather that we've seen, talking to Captain Tommy Coons out of Matagorda that was saying, hey, assuming we don't get a lot of runoff, Colorado River will be in play, coming up for the next the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to really be taken probably out of the equation for a while while the river runoff, occurs. But this goes up and down. You've got, on the upper coast, San Jacinto, you got Trinity. Folks, when you're looking at your weather forecast and look at the Lone Star State, if it's raining up in Dallas, that's going to impact, the upper coast.
Right.
Once you get past south of Victoria, impact is not as great to the coastal, but it's more inland. So it's crazy.
And Bob, our producer, sitting on the edge of his seat, wanted to know, did the Farmer's Almanac predict any of this?
Well, actually,
and I've had a lot of people, too, ask me, what's the Farmer's Almanac say about our winter? I said, I don't know. I'll ask Bill.
Yeah. Crazy forecast, and I'm trying to get another confirmation on it, but they're saying that the northern portion of the country, Minnesota, that area, the Dakotas, are going to be milder than normal. But Texas, and certainly along the southern part of the Gulf Coast, on over into the southern part of the country, is going to be colder than normal. And I'm going, wait a minute. The cold air is going to come from the north.
That's where it's supposed to come from, isn't it? Yeah.
How are they going to be more mild, but
it's magic.
Yeah, it is. Got some national news. We've talked about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little politics as it
Oh, of course.
As it relates to our Second Amendment rights. And those that always think they have a better mousetrap when it comes to gun control. This is coming from San Antonio, Texas. The city council is discussing whether to move forward on one or more proposed municipal ordinances that would limit where new firearm retailers could set up shop within the city limits. Although the current view seems to be that the 60 federally licensed retailers would be allowed to continue business in their current locations, city staff continues to research the proposal. One city council member called the proposal a feel-good measure. I could call it something else.
I call it stupid.
Yes, there you go. And you're being on the air nice.
Right.
NSF spokesman Mike Brizonette told the San Antonio Express News, those truly affected by municipal ordinances, no matter how well-intentioned are lawfully operated businesses and their customers, criminals will continue to get their guns as they always have, illegally.
Yep, you got it.
You know, so...
So do we know who the idiot is that proposed this thing?
Don't know where they came from.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, that information was not provided, but it is really frustrating. The other thing that is being discussed, and this is in Congress, and it is a federal land access proposal. But there's about 640 million acres of public land in western states where the majority of our National Forest and Bureau of Land Management property lies that cannot be accessed by the people of the United States. We own it.
Right.
We should be able to use it.
Why can't we access it?
Because it's surrounded by private land.
Oh.
Yes. And so I know that when I was working on ranch deals out west, I mean, that was kind of the thing, I mean, that everybody looks for is,
property that backs up to BLM.
Yes, exactly. Right. And, you know, it with the rugged terrain, you basically can lock the gate. And Mother Nature's created the rugged terrain, so it inhibits or prevents folks from going in by going around.
Ah,
okay. And let me tell you what: out west, they don't mess around with trespass rights. They're pretty serious about it.
Right.
All right, we're pretty serious about outdoor news, and we've got our best bets headed your way, along with the outdoor update. We're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road. So y'all stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place, and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike forage oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike forage oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike forage oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike forage oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotspike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
America's best-selling truck 41 years running is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks, trucks you need, trucks with best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 41 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it is about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they will build them today, and most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 41 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and it's time for the best bets. Harold, What does it say?
Here we go. Checking the Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times. This weekend, both Saturday and Sunday are two of our three best days of the week. Monday and Tuesday are rated as good. Wednesday is another best day. Thursday and Friday are two more good ones. Next Saturday and Sunday slip to a fair rating. This weekend and on Monday, look for game to be most active from mid-morning until early afternoon. On Tuesday and Wednesday, this major feeding period of the day will begin during the late morning hours and continue until mid-afternoon. By Thursday and Friday, times will have continued to adjust, so look for game to begin feeding from either side of the noon hour and remain active until late afternoon. Next weekend, this most active period occurs from early to mid-afternoon, continues until the evening hours either side of sunset. On Wednesday, October 24th, we will have a full moon on the coast this weekend, as well as each day through Thursday. We'll have a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day. Friday is a three tide day with two high tides and just one low next weekend. Both Saturday and Sunday have a double tide schedule.
All right. While we're on the coast talking about weather and fishing, one of the benefits of when the north wind blows is that blows water and bait out of the marsh, and bird activity has started picking up on Lake Calcasieu, Sabine, Galveston Bay, and on down the coast. That is probably your best bet. You were asking the impact of on the freshwater.
Right.
Is if you see birds working, then you've got some bait, and that's always a visual indicator. It could be a trout, could be redfish, could be both, and just increase the weight of your jig head to make longer cast, heavier spoons, use your popping corks if you're fishing with live bait to make long cast, and do some what the folks over in Louisiana do. This is something that Texans didn't do. I didn't do it growing up. We used to set up a drift, and we'd catch fish, and we'd drift through fish. The bite would stop. We'd drift on through, crank up the motor, come back around, and set it up again.
Yeah.
In Louisiana, they do something fairly smart.
What's that?
They catch a fish, they slip the anchor over or drop their power pole, and they stop.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
And they fish the area. That way you're not moving through, you know, and moving over the school. But it's extremely effective.
Yeah.
When this weather settles, offshore activity continues to be good. Red snapper fishing has been good out of Freeport, says Captain Mike Seagull. Real Thrill Charters. Captain Trey Pry has just built a reputation on catching monster trout out of East Matagorda Bay, and that bite is ongoing. Mentioned Captain Tommy Koontz earlier, and redfish bite has been very good in West Matagorda Bay, in behind the Matagorda Peninsula as well as Matagorda Island. Moving on down toward Espiritu Santo and San Antonio Bay, Captain Nathan Bebout continues to wade the shoreline in behind Matagorda Island. Guadalupe River is going to have some fresh water coming down.
Okay.
So that's going to impact Hines and Guadalupe Bay. Folks, you'll need to monitor that and fish accordingly. Move on down toward, further south of Pringle and on toward Cedar Bayo. As fresh water comes in behind St. Joe Island, with the rains, you're going to have runoff and drains as the tides and winds impact that area, and fish those areas for speckled trout and redfish. St. Charles Bay as well as Copano Bay have continued to produce in and around some of their reefs. The flats down south of Rockport, Estes Flats in particular, continue to have good redfish bite. From St. Shamrock Cove on to the Corpus Christi Ship Channel, fishing the grass beds as well as along the shoreline reefs has been very, very productive. Pita Island, the King Ranch shoreline on down the mouth of Baffin Bay has been very good. The north end of out of Port Mansfield on the upper portion of the Lower Laguna Madre continues to be good. And on the lower portion of the Lower Laguna Madre, fishing the Arroyo, that's deep water. Fish are starting to make a transition there, as well as around three islands. Long Bar has been another hot spot, as has the old causeways.
Okay, let's go to East Texas. Caddo, black bass are good on Texas rig creature baits, hollow body frogs, and bladed jigs. Conroe, black bass are good on watermelon red and tequila sunrise Carolina rig soft plastics and Senkos, and on chartreuse rattle traps. Fork, crappie are good on minnows. Catfish are good on trot lines and prepared bait. Lake of the Pines, black bass are good on top waters, hollow body frogs, and buzz baits. White bass are good on slabs. Crappie are good on minnows. Toledo Bend, black bass are good on black, blue, soft plastic worms and deep diving crankbaits. White bass are good on slabs and spoons. Athens, water is clear to lightly stained there, by the way. Black bass are good on hollow body frogs, black buzz baits, and spinner baits. Crappie are good on minnows. Bass Drop, black bass are good on watermelon, deep diving crankbaits, and soft plastics. Channel and Blue Cats are very good on shrimp, minnows, and stink bait. Fayette, black bass are good on perch-colored rattle traps and spinner baits. Channel and Blue Cats are good on cut shad liver and shrimp under trees. Palestine, black bass are good on Texas rig craws, topwaters, and spinner baits. Hybrid stripers and white bass are good on slabs. Richland Chambers, black bass are good on topwaters, shallow crankbaits, and buzz frogs. White bass are good on slabs. Hybrid stripers are good on slabs. Tawakoni, reports are only fair, but if you plan on going to this lake, call ahead to confirm that the ramps are open due to this high water. Texoma, same thing. Okay?
All right. Yeah, you have the haves and the have-nots. Okay. Amistad Reservoir, Big Friendly, is over 31 feet low. So all the rains that we've got inland in central Texas did not get into the Devil's, Pecos, and Rio Grande River. And so, you know, that lake is 31 feet low. Out of San Antonio, Calaveras, black bass are good on chartreuse, rattle traps, and crankbaits. Redfish are good, downrigging spoons with green grubs between the crappie wall and the dam in 15 to 20 feet of water. Lake Brownwood, black bass are good on watermelon spinnerbaits, rattle traps, soft plastics over brush piles. Hybrid striper are good on trolled hellbenders, and crappie are good on little fishies and minnows over brush piles.
I mean, looking at the hill country, run away. Okay, run away. You know, stay real high and look at it and go, golly. I mean, because that's it right now. Stuff is just too wild and woolly up there, and all the road conditions and, you know, bridges down and so on, dams down and so on. It's you just got to be careful right now.
Yeah, that's the operative word. And, you know, we talk about some of the bridges and water lapping underneath. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the bridge that's already gone away
in Kingsland.
Right. Okay. Folks just need to be really careful crossing the Colorado River at any places. Because remember, we have not had funding to come in and do repairs to our bridges.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the pucker factor
increases,
okay?
I love it what they say, turn around, don't drown.
Absolutely. All right, on the hunting scene.
Yes.
Yes. if you're a duck hunter, you're loving this.
Yeah, it's coming.
All right. But going on this weekend is the youth season in the High Plains Mallard Management season. The youth season for the South Zone occurs next weekend, the 27th, 28th. Same thing for youth-only whitetail deer season in the North and South Zones occur next weekend, as well as for Rio Grande turkey. And the High Plains Mallard Management Unit regular season, the first split, they call it, is next Saturday and Sunday. Opening October 27, that's next Saturday, is the Sandhill Crane season in Zone A. That's going to run through January 27. The statewide quail season opens next Saturday and runs through February 24, and it's going to be interesting. Quail, one of the premier game birds that we have to hunt, but is so overlooked this time of year because everybody's going, oh, we don't want to mess up the deer hunting, you know. We're going to wait, and so until deer season closes, many times we do wait. So that's what's going on hunting-wise.
Yes.
And you know what we need to do?
Texas Truck Rodeo.
Yeah, you got all the information on that. This is the big one.
It is the big one. You bet. I got to run through this fairly quick because you know, we got interviews coming up. But great Texas Truck Rodeo. The voting is in. It was a great year for Ram. We'll get to that. But starting the list, commercial vehicle was the 2019 Nissan Titan XD single cab.
Right.
Off road pickup, 2019 Ram 1500 Rebel. Luxury pickup truck, 2019 Ram 1500 Laramie Longhorn. Heavy-duty pickup, 2018 Ram 2500 Power Wagon, full-size pickup, 2019 Ram 1500 Limited, mid-size pickup truck, 2019 Toyota Tacoma TRD Pro, hell of a truck. Off-road utility, 2018 Jeep Wrangler Rubicon, full-size luxury SUV, if you got the bucks, friends, the 2019 Maserati Levante GTS. Oh, God. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. Anyway, mid-size luxury SUV, 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee Summit. Compact luxury SUV, the really neat 2019 Volvo XC40R design. Full-size SUV, 2019 Dodge Durango SRT. Hmm. That is a rocket. Mid-size SUV, 2018 Jeep Wrangler Sahara. Compact SUV, 2019 Toyota RAV4 Adventure. Subcompact SUV, the really cool 2018 Hyundai Kona Ultimate. Luxury CUV, the fabulous 2018 Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio. Full-size CUV, 2019 Mazda XC9 Signature. Mid-size CUV, 2018 Nissan Murano Midnight Edition. Compact CUV, 2019 Nissan Kicks SR. But here comes the big one, friends. The CUV of Texas, the 2018 Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio. The SUV of Texas, the really expensive, really fine 2019 Maserati Levante. And the pickup truck of Texas is the one they want, friends. The truck of Texas, the 2019 Ram 1500. Great year for Ram.
I didn't hear Ford listed at all.
One of those years.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
Sadly. And people go, it's not valid. They weren't there. What happens is, and I talked to my Ford friends going, huh? And it's because they're putting a lot into the Ranger, which is their new midsize truck,
right,
which will not be released until December.
Okay.
So they said, we couldn't bring it.
Right.
You know, and so the other stuff. You know, they've already got a bunch of awards this year, and they announced things earlier. So their new diesel, new different models, and so on.
So they were not even in the hat for consideration, huh?
They weren't there. Yeah, they weren't there, and it was sad. You know, yeah. But I ran into some of them before the event. They go, we love the event. They've always been a major presence.
I guarantee you, other than this program,
yeah,
you're not going to hear that elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It's going
right.
to be, you know, whatever.
Correct.
But let me say this, because and we saw it what 7 or 8 years ago, mm-hmm, when Ram and Dodge really started ramping up their product line.
Right.
And that started pushing everyone else.
Oh, sure.
It's good for the industry.
Absolutely.
It's good for us as
good
consumers.
Good for the consumers, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in the midsize truck thing, I mean, the Tacoma's always been solid, solid, solid. That's the one everybody's chasing.
Sure.
Is the Toyota Tacoma. Okay. But GM has done great with their Colorado or GMC, you know, Canyon. And Nissan's got, you know, midsize. So Ford now is getting back into it with, bringing back the Ranger. And I've just seen, you know, a couple of prototypes at car shows. But I will be test driving the new Ranger in December.
Well, this sounds like a report that should have an asterisk beside it.
It should, yeah.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent report.
You bet.
And congratulations to those that were there.
And it was a great event. And these people all do have fabulous, fabulous vehicles. You kind of look at them. But some of these things, you know, like that Maserati, they're really starting to push to get to the consumers. I mean, they're not cheap,
right?
But they're amazing vehicles, and all their V8s now are made by Ferrari.
I can't even imagine going through a bump gate with a Maserati. You know, anything.
It's got a pretty hefty snout on it. Actually, it really does. Yeah, it's a big vehicle too. Really big.
All right, hey, we've got some phenomenal hunting here in the Lone Star State. We've got Rusty Wood from Jasper. He's on his way.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word. And I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough. The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven salooner tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros set Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are just a couple of reasons why Texas Outdoors Journal has been named one of the top outdoor publications in Texas. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save 60% off the cover price. To subscribe using a major credit card, call 1-800-222-4TOJ. That's 1-800-222-4865, or subscribe securely online at texasoutdoorsjournal.com.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and we continue our waltz across Texas, heading over to East Texas, the Piney Woods, down Jasper Way, with Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Rusty Wood. Rusty, welcome to Texas Outdoor News. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Hey, Rusty, this is Harold. This is the important question. How's the weather?
We're trying to dry out a little. We have had the water.
You know, that has been the case for the past several years. With heavy rains that we've seen flooding in the area. Of course, we know the hill country and the central part of the state is dealing with it now. But coming out of last hunting season, when deer started growing antlers back, say, March, April time frame, how were things shaping up in your district?
We had good water early on. We had really timely rains, and the browse habitat was all in really good shape. It wasn't until we hit, you know, late in the summer that we really started to dry out.
Well, you know, they say Texas weather, if you don't like it, wait a minute. Has the worm turned? Did the drying out, did it impact mass crop? And now has the rain brought on some of the fall forbs?
You know, I think we turned out all right. The north end of the Piney Woods turned out a little drier and even got into some of the severe drought indexes and burn bands. But closer down to Nacogdoches, further south, we never quite got into that extreme drought that they did further north. But overall, I still think we're in good shape. I think that the browse held out fine, and then, you know, we got some timely rains towards the end of August and into September, of course, and things really shifted. I think the mass crop turned out fine, and certainly the browse is fine as well.
You know, with the different creeks and riparian areas that we've got in your district, that gets to be some really thick country, and that's where some monster whitetails, you know, are hiding out. When we have heavier rains like this and water comes up a little bit, is there a certain displacement that moves critters into other areas that may present an opportunity for hunters?
Yeah, it takes quite a bit of water to really push them out of those bottoms, but they definitely hit the high ground. They know when it's coming, for sure.
Yeah. We'll kind of put a bow on our whitetail before we move on to some other critters. How would you rate the antler development for this year? Average, above, below, and same thing on body weight?
You know, I think it's just going to be an average year based on what I've seen. I've seen quite a few trail cam pictures from and information from our landowner surveys, and things look like they're off to a good start. I wouldn't say it's an exceptional year, but I certainly think we're in great shape for the coming season.
One of the things about East Texas, it was so heavily subdivided, and now we've got wildlife co-ops that have been put together. I know the big management plan is for ground nesting birds. How are the wildlife co-ops, and how is, say, for our eastern turkey, how's that going on in your district?
Yeah, you know, we've done pretty well. We've got a few active co-ops that we've got turkeys on the ground for. We finished a stocking last year up in the north end of our district, up in Marion County. And we've got a few more that are going to get evaluated in the coming year for possible stocking. So the turkey restoration work has been a great model for success. Our Neches River co-op area, they're really seeing a lot of good success from this.
I have heard, and I need you to confirm, that that management strategy, if it works for ground nesting birds, it works for whitetail, it works for a pretty broad range of critters. Is that right?
Well, I think so. You know, it's in the case of ground nesting birds, I think that there's a threshold. Back in the old days, they were doing block stalking, you know, where they were putting out smaller releases of birds, and it didn't take a whole lot of mortality, whether it be from capture myopathy or just, you know, natural mortality from predators. to really knock one of those populations in the head and get them down past where they could reproduce. But with this super stocking kind of method, I think that we're overcoming a lot of that initial mortality and getting them over the hump, so to speak.
Yeah, Rusty, I want to ask you real quick about, as time ticks along, but three things. Two are my favorite, of course. What's our situation with hogs?
No shortage of those. We've got plenty. Do you need some?
Yeah, well, I'll take all I can get. Okay, now the next one, well, I think my personal favorite, squirrels.
Oh, yeah, squirrels. Well, again, I think we had a good mass crop this year. I've been out in the woods just a little bit, but and I've asked around, and I think that the red oaks are pretty dependable, and we've got quite a few red oak acorns on the ground, and then the white oaks are spotty like always, but if you've got a white oak tree that produces, you know, it's probably got some on it, so, and they're starting to fall, so I think we're in good shape as far as mass goes.
And are we getting any sightings in any of those illegal immigrant bears wandering over from Louisiana?
You know, we are getting a few reports over in this part of the country. They had some up on the north end of the district. This year, a couple of them up around Lake Wright Patman confirmed sightings, but nothing on the south end that's been confirmed recently.
Yeah, because we got to warn everybody, don't shoot them.
No.
Don't shoot them is right, yeah.
They're protected. With the moisture that we've got, when we switch to waterfowl before we run out of time, we got about 30 seconds. Have our back sloughs, have we got some water coming up? Because I know that the groceries are waiting for them, right?
No doubt. I think we're in good shape as far as that goes, and certainly the backwater sloughs are starting to fill up. If we can get some overtopping into those things, just the rainfall is doing really good, but if we can get a couple of good flood events on the rivers, I certainly think we're in good shape for that.
Outstanding. Rusty, we are out of time. We appreciate the update. Our first guest today, Rusty Wood, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader from Jasper. Folks, stick around as we're going to head to the Hill Country with Mike Miller right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
I am Tracy Claypack. Jeff and I have been farming for about 38 years. Our boys came in to farm with us in 06, and Capital Farm Credit was able to work with us and help us. My husband and boys are farming land that they have farmed for the last four generations. Capital Farm Credit has been there for us. They actually know what farmers need. Our future plans are to continue working with Capital Farm Credit and make our future better.
Together, we're better. Find out why at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
Equal housing lender. NMLS 493828.
Built on a heavy-duty box steel frame, but not built for the road. Because driving it on anything, even remotely flat, would be a waste of diesel. This is the Roxor from Mahindra, a legendary off-road vehicle with more than 70 years of hardcore heritage. All new, no mercy. The Roxor from Mahindra. Test drive yours today. Find a dealer at RoxorOffroad.com.
The place to stock up on ammunition is Carter's Country for practice, self-defense, or hunting. Carter's has everything you need from Federal and Estate cartridge. Federal's American Eagle practice ammo is priced right, with 9mm at just $4.97 a box and 45 at only $21.97. The superior performance of HydroShock pistol ammo can be yours in 9mm for $23.97, 38 Special for $22.97, 40 Smith & Wesson and 45 Auto is only $24.97. For the bird hunter, Federal's Top Gun shot shells in 12 and 20 gauge are just $6.87 for a 25-round box, and the Estate heavy game shot shells in 12 and 20 gauge are just $6.47 a box. For practice or plenty of hunting, it's hard to beat the economically priced Estate game and target shot shells in 12 or 20 gauge for only $5.97 a box. Stock up right now at all four Carter's Country locations. Carter's Country, where your great outdoors begins.
We continue our annual waltz across Texas, moving from Jasper. We're going to sashay on over to Kerrville, where Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Mike Miller joins us. Mike, welcome to Texas Outdoor News. Man, you all have had some water, haven't you?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Yeah, that's a fact. And yeah, I'd like to take a moment this morning to acknowledge, first and foremost, that we have a lot of landowners that are struggling up and down the Guadalupe, Pedernales, and Llano Rivers with property damage.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier in the program that, you know, truly the old adage of Texas weather, if you don't like it, just wait a minute. But
oh, boy, that's true, yeah, because I've got a place, Mike, over at Mason, which I didn't get to. I was going to go there this week, and I thought, I'm going to hold off. But my cousin up there leases the grazing, and I called him, and I said, hi, how's the water? And he said, well, the creek's out of his banks. I went, okay, because I've got just a seasonal creek that feeds into the San Saba. It's tough up there. I know a lot of people. Where I'm at, I know I'll be lucky. But, a lot of people have lost a lot of stuff. It's not over with yet, is it?
Well, we have potential for more rain and flooding today. We'll just have to hold on, wait and see. I know there's miles and miles of damaged fences right now and water gaps that are out. And most of our county roads are passable, according to reports I got yesterday. But, boy, those secondary roads, those ranch roads, you're going to get stuck if you get off too far.
Well, let's talk. You know, normally we come out of we do this update coming out of last hunting season. But bringing it to the immediate situation, the riparian areas in the rugged country that we've got in the hill country, does that push some animals out of those creek and river bottoms? Does it displace animals and they relocate to get away from that rising water?
Well, yeah, that's a big question mark now. I mean, it definitely displaces deer. Heck, from my trip home from the office the day of the flooding, and I'm trying to think now, it's all running together for me, but a couple of days ago, just here in Kerrville, all those deer were pushed out of those river bottoms into town that day on the way back home.
Oh,
so I know that's happening all up and down all these wide riparian zones.
Well, as we get into the balance of bow season and start the general season, if they don't go back to their home range, I mean, we always have a problem with people hitting vehicles, you know, that are in and around the right-of-ways and roadways. So that could further exacerbate that. Let's do talk about heading into hunting season.
How were they before the rain?
Before the rains, did they get off to a good start growing antlers and putting on some body weight? What kind of spring and summer did we have in the hill country?
Yeah, you know, we had a good winter last winter, a lot of acorn production. I mean, that's great for the deer and sometimes bad for the hunters, right?
So right.
We feel like, I haven't looked at the numbers for last year, but we feel like we have tremendous carryover deer numbers into this year, just from a little bit of under harvest or lack of harvest last year on certain ranches. So we were in good shape. The deer were in good shape, I mean, going through the winter and spring months, but that waned quickly as we got into late spring and summer here. We had a rough one, I mean, in terms of lack of precipitation.
Sure. Well, you mentioned lack of harvest, and know that the Hill Country, Edwards Plateau, your district that is, you know, broad, moving from east to west, was heavily impacted by hunters that were impacted by Hurricane Harvey that had personal issues to deal with and didn't go hunt last season. More mouths on the rangeland. I guess it's really important when you talk about more whitetail deer, managing domestic stock, and then free-ranging exotic animals. We need to take some animals off, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing you always have to keep in mind in the Edwards Plateau is the presence of those exotics. We have more axis deer than ever. I'm pretty confident of that. And they hang down in those riparian zones, and they take their fair share of forage.
Yeah, and they can out-hustle the white-tailed deer, can't they? They can eat a broader range of forage, so when conditions go south and we get into a drought condition, they can change and maybe even change, I've heard, the vegetational landscape. Is that correct?
They can. They do. They have a tendency, or they can have the ability to browse the habitat up. You know, I mean, these deer have become browsing animals. They're eating woody plants during the winter months primarily, and those axis deer can get on those hind legs, reach up, and browse to a little higher height. And when that's gone, yeah, you're right, they can turn, you know, their foraging to other forage classes that white-tailed deer really can't benefit from.
One thing that is available in the hill country that I'm really surprised, and it's been labeled as an underutilized resource, is our Rio Grande turkey. Lots of turkey, but people are holding off, I guess, in the fall, not taking them, and in the spring they don't go back to enjoy the spring turkey hunting. What kind of hatch have we had on turkey of late?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, one thing we noticed right away is this past winter, in February and early March, we were doing a lot of, our biologists in the district were doing a lot of trapping, banding, leg banding, and releasing of the birds. We do that monitoring on an annual basis, and we noticed right away that we didn't have a high percentage of juvenile birds in those flocks. which we should have typically. So we're kind of heavy on adults going into this reproductive season, and this season, really, I hate to say this, share the bad news, but it really wasn't any better. We didn't see that many poults this summer, and they kind of get hit really by a lack of nesting cover. You know, these rangelands, when you don't get ample precipitation in the spring and the fall, they tend to become a little depleted in terms of forage growth and as well as nesting cover growth, you know, low-growing vegetation. So
sure.
When that nesting cover is not there, we tend, the turkey flocks, as well as some of the other game birds, tend to suffer from
that. Mike, that'll have the same effect on quail then, right?
It will. And, you know, the Edwards Plateau has never been known for, or at least not in recent decades, for its quail hunting. Although we have a few bright spots out west for scale quail hunters.
Right. Before we run out of time, we got just about a minute left. Hogs. We talk about hogs. We see the damage in the rooting. But then when you have heavy rains like this, then it gets into an erosion, and, I mean, you can actually have hog rootings around riparian areas that end up polluting some of our streams and creeks, right?
Yeah, that's a fact, Bill. But, you know, you see two things. These hogs, when we get this kind of rainfall, they're able to expand their ranges and exploit habitats that they normally wouldn't because there's so much water availability. And deer feeding on top of that, you know, not picking on the deer hunters, that's for sure. We've all hunted around corn feeders during our lifetimes, but that feeding a deer also allows, in those upland habitats, allows those hogs to sort of exploit some habitats that otherwise they probably wouldn't normally occupy.
Gotcha. Hey, listen, great update. We're out of time. We appreciate you joining us. Our guest from Kerrville office of Texas Parks and Wildlife, District Leader Mike Miller. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Try to stay dry. Okay. All right, friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
At the Jeep Adventure Days event, you'll find great deals, like the great outdoors are never out of reach. And now, not even the sky's the limit, thanks to Jeep Renegade's class-exclusive MySky open-air roof, giving you a whole new vantage point to see the world. Make a grand entrance, or take a grand adventure by combining luxury and capability in the most awarded SUV ever, the Jeep Grand Cherokee. And never lose touch with your adventurous side, or your loved ones, in a Jeep Compass, offering the most technology and connectivity in its class. Like the available 8.4-inch Uconnect touchscreen. Experience an adventure unlike any other in a lineup unlike any other today at the Jeep Adventure Days event. But hurry, these great deals won't last. Available features based on Jeep brand small SUV segmentation. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Based on compact SUV segmentation. OEM website, Auto Knowledge. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold, once again, it looks like it's loaded.
You bet. October 24th, West Texas Chapter National Wild Turkey Federation fundraiser in Hereford. Info 620-334-9026. On the 25th, Brenham Chapter of the Ducks Unlimited fundraiser in Brenham, 979-966-5003. Also the 25th, Permian Basin Chapter of the Mule Deer Foundation fundraiser in Odessa, 432-254-7992. On the 26th, the Rob Harper Memorial Texas Shootout at the Elm Fork Gun Range in Dallas. Co-sponsored by the FC Foundation Dallas four-man team Sporting Clays Shoot. Information friendsofrob.org. On the 27th, 10th annual West Bay Redfish Showdown and Fundraiser, the West End Marina at Galveston, benefiting the Shriners Hospital for Children. You can call them 713-594-4252 or visit www.fishwestend.com. Also the 27th, the Rockport Fulton Chapter of the Ducks Unlimited fundraiser in Aransas Pass, 361-463-6934, and go to one of those great events in your brand new Ford truck.
Built Ford Tough. It's synonymous with the rugged capability, outstanding performance, and dependability of Ford trucks. Whether it's hauling a big load, getting you to a job site, hunting ranch, favorite lake, or the coast, count on the lineup of versatile Ford trucks to work overtime to get the job done. The 2018 F-150 body is up to 700 pounds lighter than the previous generation, made of high-strength, military-grade 6000 series aluminum alloy used in big military and industrial applications. Plus, its fully boxed frame is made of up to 78% high-strength steel. The F-150 has its most advanced powertrain lineup ever, like best-in-class torque, payload, plus towing, and that's just the beginning of F-150 best-in-class features. The Ford F-150 is Motor Trend's 2018 Truck of the Year and once again named the Truck of Texas. It's the number one selling truck for 41 years running. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what Built Ford Tough really means.
And take that truck over to Carter's Country. Load up right now. 57th anniversary sale, a lot of rebates, low prices, 6 months totally free financing. They got a Mossberg Patriot Combo, 270, 308, 6.5 Creedmoor rifle with a wonderful CRKT knife, only $299.97. The Savage Arms Axis Combo, factory mounted 3-9 scope, all kind of calibers, $299.97. Everybody's favorite pocket pistol, the Ruger LCP 380, now down to only $189.97. And you got some extra money, scope it, the Nikon Pro Staff 3-9 on sale $149.97. We'll remind everybody that all four Carter's Country stores will be closed on Monday in honor of our dear friend Mr. Bill Carter.
All right, next week, you know, join us because we're going to go north and south. Calvin Richardson from Canyon and David Veal from Pleasanton. We'll wrap up our waltz across Texas.
We need some Bob Wills music next week, okay? All right. Go to our website, TexasOutdoorNews.com. See a list of our wonderful stations. You can download all the shows from there. You can also do that on YouTube and more. Remember, we are brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Be safe out there so you can join us next week for more Texas Outdoor News.